Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
And good afternoon and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. Well, there's big news out of Washington today as President Trump has made an announcement pertaining to our military. And here is what he tweeted this morning. After consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical cost and disruption that transgenders in the military would entail. Here is a piece from Fox News reporting.
President Trump just tweeting out a big announcement about the military, saying this, quote, after consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with the tremendous medical costs and disruption that transgender in the military would entail. He ends it simply, thank you.
This is a tremendous shift from the previous administration. Under the Obama White House, they were making major shifts in the military to allow for transgenders to and homosexuals and lesbians to serve openly in the U.S. military. They did away with Don't Ask, Don't Tell during the 8 years of President Obama. Then they opened up the floodgates with transgenders serving openly in the White House, in the military, in the Pentagon, and that created a lot of dismay among the ranks within the military. To accommodate that kind of social reengineering was going to be a heavy burden on the military. We commend President Trump and the announcement he made today, and I'm sure it's an encouragement throughout the ranks in all of our military branches. Here to talk about it with us is from the FRC, from the Family Research Council, is Peter Sprigg, who is a senior fellow for policy studies. Peter is the senior fellow of the Family Research Council. He also is research on writing and has addressed issues on marriage and family, human sexuality, the arts and entertainment, religion, and public life. Peter, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Well, this was a big day. Tell us what you're thinking about this announcement from President Trump.
It is a big day, and we're very gratified that President Trump has recognized the problems with the Obama transgender military policy and has taken decisive action to reverse it. We think he's done exactly the right thing.
Well, this obviously was an issue that the Family Research Council was dismayed about during the previous administration, President Obama's basically his edicts throughout the ranks of policy of the White House and in the military especially, and handpicking, it seemed like, individuals that would advance his agenda. And he seemed to be very dogmatic about it, trying to really make as many changes of social reengineering that he possibly could over the objections of many in the military. In fact, if there were military commanders that did object, they would be disciplined or replaced or basically exited from the military. Your thoughts?
Well, that's correct. The Obama policy, which I want to remind people, was a radical change to the longstanding policy of the U.S. military that's existed throughout our history. The Obama policy was not implemented following a review of the views of the troops or the opinion of commanders. It was not even based on any sort of careful review of the medical aspects of transgender, those who identify as transgender, and what the impact would be on the force. It's quite clear that it was imposed for political reasons and political reasons alone as a movement of political correctness. And so I think it's good that President Trump has followed through on his promise to consult with the generals and other military experts, as he put it in his tweet, and has realized that there are some problems with this policy that that make it really untenable and not the best thing to promote military readiness.
Well, that's right. We put up on our social media post today about commending the president and his announcement. Here, a woman who previously served in the U.S. Marines, she said, Diane said, there will be people shouting about their rights over this. However, you don't have the right to serve in the military. It is based on a set of qualifications, not social experiments. The military must have good order and respect for your fellow servicemen is a must, she says. As an inactive Marine, I honestly say if I saw a male officer walking around in a skirt and stating I feel like a woman, so therefore I am, and I would have less respect for that officer. Vice versa, she said, if an officer is a female running around saying they are a male, reason being, I would be questioning their mental fitness and would be more skeptical of their orders. This is unhealthy for the military, which requires good order, good conduct, and the ability to trust your superiors that they are making correct decisions. Well, I think a lot of people, obviously, they concurred on social media with her sentiments, and she was a former military. What are you hearing from, for instance, General Boykin, retired, that serves there at the Family Research Council? What has he said about this?
Well, I haven't spoken directly with General Boykin today. He hasn't been in the office, but he is one of the people who's been working, along with Tony Perkins, our president, working very hard on this issue over the last several weeks and months. To try to get the message into the White House about our concerns that we have, and also working in Congress. You know, I want to give a little bit of credit to Representative Vicky Hartzler of Missouri, who was really the first and almost the only person to raise this as an issue in Congress. She, a few weeks ago, proposed an amendment to the National Defense Authorization Act, which would have prohibited the use of taxpayer money for gender reassignment surgery and hormone therapy. Unfortunately, her amendment was narrowly defeated by, I think it was 4 or 5 votes, and there were 24 Republicans who were on the wrong side of that, voting against her amendment. But even though that effort was defeated, I think it actually helped in the long run to raise the public visibility of this issue and helped motivate the White House and the president to act. So I want to give her some credit for that as well. And, of course, the president's policy goes even beyond what her amendment would have done and focuses not just on the funding issue, but on the reversing the entire policy altogether. So we think that this is the best outcome the best way for it to be handled. This has always been an administrative decision. The Obama policy was an executive decision. He did not consult with Congress. President Trump is free to reverse that policy as an executive decision as well. You know, I just wanted to mention one other thing, though, in terms of the kind of feedback people are getting. The one line that people are using who oppose what the president did today is to say, well, we believe that every patriotic American who wants to serve should be allowed to serve. But there's more to it than that. Every patriotic American who wants to serve is not allowed to serve, even if they don't identify as transgender, because we have very specific medical eligibility standards.
That's right.
So you may be a patriotic American who wants to serve your country and still be rejected by the military because of something as seemingly minor in the civilian world as having asthma, for example. There are all kinds of conditions which make someone ineligible to serve in the military, and I think that the person you were quoting there did kind of point out that military service is not a right. It's not a civil right, so it shouldn't be viewed in the context of rights and discrimination. It should be viewed in the context of what will maximize the effectiveness of our military as a fighting force. That's exactly what President Trump recognized today.
Well, that's right. And the president needs to be commended for this. And we're going to give information where people can phone the White House and also email the president, letting him know that you support his decision to support our military, that, you know, common sense, that it shouldn't be a playground for social reengineering, but it should be for just what it's for, and that is to protect the United States of America from enemies foreign and domestic, our U.S. military. So we want to commend the president for his position so that the radicals on the other side don't basically suck up all the oxygen in the room with their criticism of the president. And folks, that's ever so important. I'm talking with Peter Sprigg, who is Senior Fellow for Policy Studies at the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. And Peter, again, this is big news. I mean, you know, the president, this is the kind of thing where he's a stand-up guy. You know, just when some things look like they're floundering in Washington and you're getting a lot of mixed signals and, you know, some things aren't seeming to go right, he'll come out with a big position like this and where you want to just applaud the man. So it's been an interesting ride for the first 6 months. Your thoughts?
Right. Well, some people have been critical, I guess, of the fact that he announced this decision in a series of tweets. But I think that reflects clearly his view of, you know, he has a new view of the presidency, a new view of how the president should communicate with the people. And actually, you put those three tweets together, and it was quite a compelling statement. This is not, you know, this is not something that was just sort of off the top of his head or something, or a reaction to something he saw on TV. This is actually a concise but very well crafted statement of policy. Because the Defense Department had already begun implementing the Obama policy, it's going to require more clarification, more detail in the future from the White House or the Defense Department or both to explain how they're going to sort of unravel what's already been put in place by the Obama administration. So we do look forward to getting more detail in the future, But I certainly welcome the president's decisiveness and clear statement of policy today.
Well, and again, there were some mixed signals because I believe the Joint Chiefs of Staff in June made an announcement they were going to suspend implementing those programs. But like you said, they may have been expedited by people that were loyal to the previous regime, as we say, the previous administration. They could have expedited this policy hoping to get it in place, but the fact is it's not in place, the executive order by the president. But you pointed out the amendment by the congresswoman was turned back by 24 Republicans. By the way, we have those lists. None of them, thank God, are any Ohio congressmen that I see on the list. We're appreciative of that, but some of our border states here in the Midwest, some in Pennsylvania, some in Michigan, I suppose that these are moderates and liberals in borderline districts, but nevertheless, they need to hear from our folks as well. And so I was glad to see some of the advocacy groups putting a list out there of some of these congressmen who thought that it was a good idea for us to pay for transgender surgery by voting against the amendment, which would have banned that. But here the president, again, stepping up to the plate, making a sound decision for our military. And with great relief, I'm sure, to the Joint Chiefs of Staff so they can get about the business of what they're supposed to be doing over at the Pentagon, and that is defending the United States of America from enemies abroad. And we have many challenges around the world, and the last thing they need to be worrying about is some kind of social experiment. Your thoughts?
Well, that's right. I mean, we've done an analysis where we tried to set forth the costs in terms of the not only direct medical expenses for surgery and hormone therapy, but also the opportunity costs for these service members who would not be deployable for long periods of time and so forth. But that's the impact as a result of what happens to those who identify as transgender. But there was an impact on every single service member because every single member of the service is scheduled to undergo an hour of training, I believe, every year on this issue. They call it training. I would call it indoctrination into the gender identity ideology. Commanders were being put in a position of having to draft and administer these detailed treatment plans for those people in their under their command who wanted to go through who wanted to go through a gender transition. These are hassles that they don't need to be dealing with. They have more important things to deal with, and so we're grateful that the entire force has been freed of that burden as well.
Absolutely. Again, we're talking with Peter Sprigg, Senior Fellow for Policy Studies at the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. Peter, thanks for being my guest today. Don't be a stranger. We'd like to have you back, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. God bless. Well, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the other side. Don't go away.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. TrustBlueReview.
Okay, and we're back, and you're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Today we're talking about President Trump's major announcement that he has ordered the military to ban transgenders from entering the military. He wrote this today in tweets: after consultation with my generals and military experts, please be advised that the United States government will not accept or allow transgender individuals to serve in any capacity in the U.S. military. Our military must be focused on decisive and overwhelming victory and cannot be burdened with a tremendous medical cost and disruption that transgenders in the military would entail. Thank you. This is a statement today by President Trump. And with us on the phone is the president of the Garden State Families, Greg Quinlan, a former board member of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Greg, welcome to the program.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, thank you, my friend. Well, this is big news coming out of Washington today, and this basically peels back with what Mr. Obama was trying to do during his years in office. Your thoughts?
Oh, what Obama did was devastating and detrimental to the military, and the whole thing with the LGBT policies that he put forth are dangerous to children and the families. So I am glad to see that we have a president, however unorthodox he is about doing things, that is doing the right thing, and there will be backlash. I mean, already Tim Gill, the homosexual billionaire, is talking about attacking Christians, literally talking about punishing Christians because of their stance on homosexual marriage. It's kind of ridiculous. You know, we're not the ones throwing gays off the top of buildings. We're not the ones that walked into a Orlando bar and killed 40-some people. This is ridiculous, the attack directed upon Christians. But today what President Trump did was an affirmation of the family and God's creation for man and woman.
Well, you know, those who have opposition to what Christians, the stand that we take, and that one, it's a compassionate stand. One, that all men are sinners and are in need of a Savior. Number two is that we all must repent of our sins, regardless of what those sins are. Well, whether it's adultery or fornication or homosexuality or drug addiction or alcoholism. These are all sins of dissipation of the flesh that need to be repented of and rejected. And so because we take a position like that, Greg, and because we don't embrace their sinful lifestyle of homosexuality, they think we're hating on them, when just the opposite. We're applying to them the same judgment we give ourselves, and that is we all have to repent and turn to the Savior for salvation. We're all in need of deliverance, and we pray for those who are caught up in the LGBT lifestyle. Your thoughts?
Yes, that's exactly what we're doing. It's an act of love to oppose something that is going to cause harm to an individual. That harm can be done right here, right now, in this life. But that harm can also be expressed and felt, you know, in hell. There is salvation and there is judgment. There is heaven and there is hell. And there are consequences to sin. And I saw those consequences myself, you know, having lived in that lifestyle for 10 years. So it's what you said is absolutely correct. When we oppose the homosexual lifestyle, it really is not directed at the individual. It's directed at the lifestyle itself and the harm it brings to that individual.
Well, that's right. And we need to support our president. In fact, there's an opportunity, folks, if you'd like to email the White House, you can go to or just Google whitehouse.gov and go to contact. Let the president know that you support his position, his righteous decision to ban transgenders from the military, and that he's taken a solid stand for our troops. And let him know, because Lord knows the opposition is pouring in today, criticizing the president. We shouldn't let a man's good decision stand alone. We should support that decision. Greg, your thoughts?
Amen. We're so good to criticize what we don't like. When we see something that's done right, we need to let them know that we support and stand behind them. Thank you so much for doing the right thing, Mr. President. Thank you for protecting our children and protecting our military and protecting our freedoms, because that's what he did. He made it very clear. We have to state this, as hard as it sounds, that transgenderism is a mental illness. And you can't trust the American Psychiatric Association, the American Psychological Association, because they are politically driven and motivated. It's sad to say that very few in the top, the ones who make the decisions, that you cannot trust them to follow science. They are trusting the whims of society and culture, and they're a part of it. So it's unfortunate that this is happening, but what the president did was really in response to real science, the real cohesiveness of our military, and what's necessary for us to win a war and be prepared for when our enemies come after us under attack.
Well, that's exactly right. We're talking with Greg Quinlan, the president of the Garden State Families, and Greg is doing a tremendous job in the state of New Jersey for pro-life, pro-family legislation and policy. Greg, real quick, what are you involved with right now in New Jersey?
Well, on the same topic, our governor just signed into law what I call the Transgender Education Freedom Act. It actually codifies into law the bathrooms in schools, sports. So whatever a student decides that they are at the moment, they can use the bathroom if they're a boy. They can use the girls' bathroom. They can participate in girls' sports like girls' wrestling if they're a boy, if they identify as a girl. They have, and that includes the locker rooms too. So Chris Christie signed that into law with another bill that also mandates that all insurance policies sold in New Jersey and as part of New Jersey residents must have transgender reassignment surgery and the process to get there covered in their insurance policy. So,
well, that is disastrous. That is disastrous. We are going to pray for you, my friend. Thank you for the work you're doing there. We'll pray that there's better work ahead. God bless you for all you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That's Greg Quinlan, again, the president of Garden State Families. If you missed any of today's broadcast, you could always log on to our website at ohioca.org and hear today's broadcast in its entirety at our podcast. And please tell a friend. And again, your contributions are welcome to help the work of the Ohio Christian Alliance as we work in Columbus and in Washington, D.C. on behalf of the family in supporting the pro-life, pro-family position. Thanks for listening today. God bless you.
looking out for seniors today. It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all, so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
Hello and welcome to this edition of News in Focus. We're glad that you've joined us. My name is Chris Long. I'm the host of the program, and we're going to be talking about the pro-life movement, and of course, we're going to be talking about defunding Planned Parenthood. With me on the phone is the president of Created Equal, Mark Harrington. They are centered in Columbus, Ohio, but they are a national organization, and last week they were in Washington lobbying members of the U.S. Senate to move on their promises to defund Planned Parenthood. Let's fast forward a year ago this week. It's, of course, 90 degrees out right now, and we're in the middle of summer, and there's a deadlock in Washington currently. But last year, of course, was big news as the RNC convention was held in Cleveland, Ohio. And, of course, it was the national story, as really national and international guests came from all over the world came to Cleveland for the RNC convention, in which Donald J. Trump would become the party's nominee. That week also, the Republican Platform Committee convened, and they came out with a very strong pro-life, pro-family, very conservative platform, and in some estimation, the most conservative platform that has ever been devised by the Republican Party. One of the key aspects of that was a pledge to defund Planned Parenthood. My good friend Mark Harrington, who's going to be on in just a minute, approached me and said, how do we go about petitioning the committee to put language in that will defund Planned Parenthood? I said, Mark, that's a great idea. I said, let's make some phone calls, find out, and let's start lobbying these members, which we did. And as a result of his efforts and others, they did insert language to defund Planned Parenthood. And of course, leading up to that was the series of videos that were released and went viral across the nation depicting the horrible backdrop of what Planned Parenthood is really all about, selling baby body parts, the very cavalier attitude of its officials in the money-making process of a very ghastly and horrific practice that they've been about, receiving, might I add, your tax dollars and mine to the tune of $500 billion a year, $500 million a year, and that's thanks to Obamacare. They receive that entitlement through Obamacare, and it continues as long as that is the law of the land. And unfortunately, because of the failure this week of the Republicans in the Senate to come together with a plan to basically repeal Obamacare and replace it with a new health care plan, Obamacare still is the law of the land. And unfortunately, that $500 million to Planned Parenthood stays in place. With me on the phone is Mark Harrington, my good friend, president of Created Equal. Mark, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
Is that a pretty accurate portrayal of what I laid out?
I think you hit the nail on the head.
Well, last year, of course, you were very instrumental in leading that charge, and you rallied other pro-life organizations to lobby the members of the platform committee. Of course, Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council played a key role in that as well. This is kind of really the backroom arrangement of the party system, of how they lay out the platform of the party, what the party's going to run on. You know, Donald Trump pledged also to that platform, and so far he's kept up his part of the bargain. But unfortunately, members of Congress, and especially the Republicans that are in leadership, are fighting with each other, and we've not been able to get anything substantive done in regard to defunding Planned Parenthood. Your thoughts?
Well, that's right, Chris. You know, Republicans historically run on a pro-life position. The platform has been pro-life for as long as I can remember. They get elected with a pro-life view. I mean, that's why millions of Americans vote for them, put them in office, and we expect them, when time comes, to do what's right. And so we have been patiently waiting for the moment to defund Planned Parenthood. Since 2010, the Republicans on Capitol Hill have said that they will defund Planned Parenthood, but they wanted to do it in the broader context of health care reform, i.e. the repeal and replace of Obamacare. They've been saying that now for 7 years and has, as you know, voted to repeal Obamacare many times when Mr. Obama was in the Oval Office. But when it came down to it, at least in the Senate, at this time anyway, it doesn't appear that the votes are there to repeal and replace Obamacare, and therefore, unfortunately, the casualty of that inability to get that done will be more than likely the continued funding of Planned Parenthood. So, sadly, again, the Republicans they talk a good game on the campaign trail, but when given an opportunity to really get it done and push comes to shove, often the preborn babies get thrown under the bus. And that's where we stand right now. We haven't given up. As you know, we were on Capitol Hill last week lobbying our senators, and we are not giving up. There's still opportunities to get this done, but it doesn't look like it'll be done in the broader context of health care reform.
Now, on the House side, it seemed like the same scenario. They came up right to the threshold, then they failed. And there was a lot of blame being thrown around there for a couple weeks with the Freedom Caucus and others that didn't get their provisions in the health care bill. And then lo and behold, I think it was on May 4th, they rolled out a health care bill that they could agree upon, and the majority did vote it in the affirmative and sent it to the Senate. That was back May 4th. Now the Senate has had this time to deliberate, put together their version of the bill. They could not come up with the 51 votes needed. Now, they have 52 Republicans serving in the Senate, but there were two holdouts. Rand Paul was one, and Susan Collins, the other left-wing moderate Republican on the other side, they were going to stand down. Then came late word that Mike Lee was withdrawing his support along with another senator, and that made it with no Democratic support. It wasn't going to happen, even if the vice president, who is the chair of the Senate, was to throw his vote in. The vice president can do that in a tie vote, but not enough votes to get it done. Now, Trump says, and this is the headline today, Trump demands action. He's asking the Congress to stay over to get this done. So the pressure's on Mitch McConnell. Now, your group, Created Equal, you brought young people from all over the country, and they took a bus ride to Washington last week, and you went to his offices. Tell us what happened on Capitol Hill.
Well, we launched, like, probably about 10 days ago, we sent a package to every U.S. senator, a package which we called Delivering Baby Hope. Delivering Baby Hope. And what it was a package that included a 12-week preborn baby model, a model of a preborn baby, with a message, a letter written from the perspective of the baby Hope, writing to the U.S. senator, asking them to defund Planned Parenthood, and then asking them, and, you know, obviously with the defunding, that they would save many children like themselves. And so that, because you cannot deliver packages on Capitol Hill to congressmen and women, that's, you know, violates their security protocol for obvious reasons, we had to do it through the U.S. mail. So when we arrived last week, what we did is we symbolically delivered those packages as we went to each individual U.S. senator's office, asked them if they received the package in the mail, made it clear that we were exhorting them to keep the defunding of Planned Parenthood in the health care law, along with eliminating all funding streams to abortion in the law. And for the most part, we were received very well. At the very time, they were meeting in the Capitol discussing the replacement for the current bill. So it was very providential we were there. Things have unraveled a little bit since then. But as you said, in the House, the first time through, it didn't work. So I think there's a lot of dealing going on Capitol Hill right now. I wouldn't be surprised if something emerges in the coming days and weeks that they can agree on. We just pray and hope that it includes the defunding of Planned Parenthood in it.
Well, that's right. That's why the repeal of Obamacare is so important, because Planned Parenthood and NARAL and all the abortion groups sat down in that back room with Nancy Pelosi and the Senate leadership when the Democrats controlled the Congress, when President Obama was president. And they worked this out. That was will of the Democratic Party was to their pro-abortion. They want funding of Planned Parenthood to the tune of $500 million annually, $500 million, folks, of your tax dollars and mine. Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the program, there was a series of videos that were released, undercover videos, that depicted the horrific practices of Planned Parenthood and the selling of body parts behind the scenes to the highest bidder, and they're living lavish lifestyles. This horrified the nation, Mark, and it led to the solid pledge of Republicans to defund Planned Parenthood. But yet now here we are, and we're into the seventh month of the new administration, and it is July, late in July, and we have, it's hot outside, it's 90 degrees down in Washington, I'm sure it's a lot hotter, and we have gridlock. We have to, as God's people, pray. We have to really get a hold of the horns of the altar in heaven. We need to pray, we need to intercede. We have been battling the pro-life movement for over 40 years, and here we are on the threshold of having a major victory, but it's not going to come easy, folks, because Satan, who delights in the destruction of the innocent, that which is made in the image of God, he delights in destroying it through the murderous act of abortion, isn't going to relent easily. This isn't political as much as it is spiritual in our nation. Thank God for groups like Created Equal and Mark Harrington and the work that you're doing. Mark, I look at the new website you got up, and by the way, it's really a very great enhanced website. And I love that you see the young people that are marching together, that we are the resistance. These are those who are engaging with the current culture, defending life. Tell us about that.
Well, we're fortunate to be helping to challenge the next generation of leaders to be the future of the pro-life movement. I mean, we are very, very fortunate to have many young people involved in our work. It's important that the youth be eventually, you know, taking over. As you know, Chris, you and I aren't getting any younger.
Right.
And we've got to be replacing ourselves. We've got to be thinking long term. That is that we are going to be fighting this battle for many, many years. Even if we were to be fortunate enough to reverse Roe versus Wade, there's still going to be plenty of work to do. And so we are, I'm looking to replace myself and others. That's the goal. But it's more than just that. It's not just giving them something to do. It's trying to give them something to do that's effective. And that's why going to Capitol Hill, to me, was a great experience for them. The majority of them had never visited an elected office holder's location. They just hadn't done it. And so this was a great opportunity for them. We continue to try to give them those kinds of opportunities so that when they come back, they can be doing that in their own communities. And we're being fairly successful at it by God's grace.
Well, and it's very impressive what you're doing and the young people that are coming and participating in this, and it's really having an impact. When you went to Senator McConnell's office, what was your reception like?
It was fairly good. I mean, most of them were very excited to see us. First of all, when I walked in the office with 20 young people behind me, I had to make it clear to the ones that were our friendly that I'd say we're friendly. Because I think they're used to, right now anyway, most people that visit their offices are not friendly. So I made
right.
sure that we were friendly. We were there to exhort and encourage the senator and what they were already doing, but make it clear that we will hold them accountable for their vote. And that's how we approached Senator McConnell as well and his aides. And, like I say, for the most part, I think they received the message fine. Remember, he is the focus of all attention, whether it be from conservatives or liberals. That guy's under fire. So they were armed to the bear there. They had police out front and everything else. But we made it clear that we were a friend of his as long as he defends the babies. And we prayed for him outside of the office for several minutes before we went on to the next office. Here's the thing to me, Chris, and I'll just finish with this on the Planned Parenthood issue. We will live to fight another day. If this does not happen in this health care reform law, we know that the government has to come in October. They come to the issue of funding the government through a continuing resolution. That happens typically in October. And it'll be front and center, the defunding of Planned Parenthood. So if we don't win it this time, we're going to go back and we are going to fight again, and hopefully we can eventually get this done.
Well, that's right. We're talking with Mark Harrington. He's the president of Created Equal, their website. We encourage you to visit. That is www.createdequal.org. And it's an interactive website with videos and an opportunity to volunteer and to see some of the work that they've done and do through the year. And they do take justice rides where pro-life activity for young people. And this is what's great is that it is a youth movement in the pro-life movement, what Created Equal is doing. Mark, as we look at this, and obviously we are praying, and we're praying for our president, we're praying for members of Congress, and we know that there's a spiritual battle that's going on for the hearts and minds of our fellow countrymen and what's also happening in Congress. But these men and women have to have courage at this time to do that, which was they were elected to do. And so, you can get discouraged when you see this kind of gridlock. Now, our founders did put the balance of powers together with the legislative, the executive, and the judicial branches of government to be a balancing act so that there isn't just one tyrannical measure in which edicts come down, but that it is a representative government. And so each congressman, each U.S. senator is weighing in on this. Now, there is a large voice in America that is pro-life that has been speaking for years, as you've mentioned, and it's really come up to a crescendo at this point. And so we have a real opportunity. They have all the information that they need. I mean, these undercover videos, and they keep coming. Even in the national media, this James O'Keefe and what he was able to do to get undercover video of CNN admitting behind the scenes off camera and under a hidden investigation video, basically that they know that they're just lying on camera that the Trump, you know, the Russian investigation is nothing but a big nothing burger. That's what one CNN anchor said. The producer said, we keep it going because it's ratings. He said, I don't think there's anything there. We haven't found anything, but we keep it going because it's ratings. That was so revealing. You know, it's what the Bible talks about, you know, the days that we live in. And so when we're looking for truth and we're looking for the seriousness of what we're dealing with here, because healthcare does affect us all. And what, let's talk just a minute before we run out of time of Charlie Gard, who's the young baby who has a brain disease in England, and his parents and what they're facing. And that is socialized medicine that basically devalues life. Tell us about that.
Well, this is a story that has captured the attention of the world. This young 11-week baby in Europe, in the UK. Basically, what Sarah Palin warned us of many, many years ago about death panels deciding the fate of people is coming true right before our eyes in the story of Charlie Gard, where we have a hospital, against the wishes of the parents, have decided that they, that Charlie Gard's life is not worth living. And then we have a court in the UK deciding and agreeing with them, along with the European Court of Human Rights. So if that to me describes a death panel. They have decided that they are in authority over this child, and the parents' wishes will not be honored. And so his life has been hanging in the balance for 2 weeks. The good news is they have allowed an American doctor to take a look at him and give his assessment, because here's the deal, Chris. It's not about money. The parents have raised $1.6 million to get him to the United States for experimental treatment that's available for the child. So this isn't an issue of socialized medicine not having enough money, really. This is just about the government through the courts and hospitals deciding the fate of a child, where it should be the rights of the parents to decide that kind of thing. So we're still praying and hoping that they're going to come to their senses and allow this child to come to the United States and receive the treatment he deserves, which is the wishes of the parents. So it's not over yet. We're continuing to pray for the result. And again, this has just been a huge battle that we have been waging as much as we can here from the United States.
And this is a drama that's played out, obviously, before with other parents, but it hasn't been publicized. They won't even allow the parents to take their child home from the hospital. This
crazy.
Folks, you need to pay attention to what's happening. So when people tell you here, we need socialized medicine, we need a single-payer system, with that comes rationing of health care, death panels, and devaluing of life. Eventually, they'll be saying that grandma, well, she's lived long enough. We can't afford that heart surgery. We can't afford this surgery. They'll just have, give them some medication, let them die. The same thing on the other end of life with the very young, like Charlie Gard, who has a disease. But one never knows what could happen. This doctor in the United States has a treatment. He would like to assess the child, and he says, we can actually help. But yet you have a socialized medicine in England that is forbidding their parents to move the child. And folks, you need to pay attention to what's happening here. That's why it was so heartening for the public's interest in this, Mark. The president weighed in, President Trump. We saw the Pope weigh in, the international community, and that's why there's movement on behalf of this child. But what about the others who have none to speak up for them?
Well, that's right. Believe me, the world is united on this. They are pleading with this hospital to change course and give the right. I mean, the parents have the rights. It's not like the courts and the hospitals are giving them the rights. The parents have the rights, and they have the money. They should be able to do what they wish. There's an impassioned YouTube video by the two parents that everyone should watch. It is so hard to watch, because the father says they won't even let us take him home to die.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, it's just unbelievable that we've reached a place like this in our world. But again, through the work of many pro-lifers here in the United States and across America, across the world, and the prayers that are going off up, as well as President Trump and the Vatican, we're still holding out hope that the right thing will be done and that Charlie Gard will receive the treatment he deserves here in the United States. So keep praying.
And that's why our voices are so important, folks, to weigh in. And we encourage you to do that. Visit our friends at createdequal.org. Again, that's createdequal.org. Mark, thanks for being my guest today. God bless you, my friend, for all the fine work that you and the team do.
You as well. God bless.
Thank you. And again, if you've missed any of tonight's program, you could also log on to our website, ohioca.org, and catch the entire broadcast. On the other side, we're going to have an encore performance of State Representative Jim Butler and State Representative Robert Sprague. We'll be talking about the veto overrides of Governor Kasich that took place recently at the Ohio House of Representatives.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.